I think everybody knows that we're in Ephesians 4. If not, that's where we are today. We're going to camp out a little bit where we left off last week, and I want to tell you a story before we do. I might have told you a version of this before. I'm not proud to tell you this story, but has anybody ever been in jail before? Don't raise your hand. Has anybody ever been in jail before? Just raise your hand internally if you've ever been in jail. Anybody? I've only spent a brief amount of time in jail. And the time I did spend in jail, I know that doesn't surprise most of you. Some of you are like, I kind of had a feeling, you know. I was kind of thinking maybe that was true. The time the brief time I spent in jail, we were on a youth choir ensemble outing. Anybody ever in the youth ensemble at your church growing up? Remember the days where we had six guys and six girls in matching outfits and we went around to other churches and told them how great Jesus was? Anybody remember those days? Powerful days. We had brushed cotton, sort of suede-looking three-piece suits with open collars and platform shoes, because I'm talking about the 70s. Some of you were there. It's come back around for a lot of you. Just hang on. And Friday night, I think it was actually maybe a Saturday night, we were going to go to LaGrange, Georgia. It's a little town south of here, to tell the people how great Jesus is through song and music. And as we left Atlanta, the senior guys were able to persuade our ensemble director at our church to let us go in a separate vehicle from the church van. We normally always went in the church van. And the problem with the church van was it said on the side of it that it was a church van. And so that's problematic right away. It's hard to, like, really connect with the other people in the car if they're cute girls at the red light when it says the church van on the side of the van, right? So you got a bunch of people with matching outfits in a 15-passenger van. It's not cool. I mean, you can't make that cool any way you want to. So we said, please just let us take our own car. And I said, no. We're all going together. We all staying together. We're going in the van. And I'm like, yeah, please let us take our car. And one guy had a car, and he was willing to drive. And his name was Andy Stanley, and so he was going to drive. You already know where I'm going, don't you? Yeah. So I won't tell you the whole story. And I was, well, now you're going to say, no, you got to tell us the whole story. I don't have time to tell you the whole story. But we, we left from right downtown, and it seemed like maybe we got caught at the first red light accidentally. And the van went through, and we didn't. And we got separated from the van. Shocker. And then not too long after that, we were in jail. In Grantville, Georgia. You've seen the exit sign on I-85 when you're going down toward Montgomery. It's not a big jail. If you ever watched the Andy Griffith Show, I'm just telling it like it is. It's 1978, 77, somewhere in there. They had one cell in there with wheels on it so they could kind of move it around and maneuver it where they needed it in the jail. And it was everything you can imagine. I mean, it really was Andy Griffith's, right? I mean, it was the whole thing. And you're like, well, how did you guys end up in there? Well, that's a story I don't have a lot of time to tell today, but you want to know now, okay? Right? Do you want to? Okay, so I can't get here and not get there. So let me tell that really fast. I'll come and tell you again a lot later. So we're coming up. This is back when the dinosaurs were still roaming through Atlanta. So we're talking a long time ago, and I-85 wasn't completed yet. So there's a highway called Highway 29, I think, and that's how you'd get to LaGrange, Georgia. And it went under the what did exist at that time of the overpass of what is now I-85, but there was the highway wasn't completed. So there were big barricades on each side of the entrance and exit ramps going on to 85, keeping you from going on the under-construction highway as you went under 85 on your way to LaGrange. And for some reason, you know, when you're in high school, you have your brain doesn't work. And so as we're driving up, someone has this crazy idea. What if we pulled the barricades out on Highway 29, like this road is barricaded, and we sent everybody on to the freeway instead? And some people thought, yeah, that's a good idea. There were four of us in the car. So three people jumped out. One person said, I'm not getting out. 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 That wasn't Andy. And it wasn't your pastor. And so we did, and then we went on. And here's the other thing about being in high school. When you're in high school, you have short-term memory problems. Like, if it happened, like, 6 minutes ago, that's in the past, and the database has already been erased. So we're just enjoying ourselves. We're riding along to tell people how Jesus is changing our lives. And all of a sudden, and I'll never forget this, because when we were in high school, we got in trouble a little bit, and we'd gotten pulled over a few times, and we all knew what to do when you get pulled over. You never turn around and look. You know, you always pull the visor down and look in the mirror. You don't want to look suspicious. And so all of a sudden, I'll never forget the look on Andy's face. I've only seen this look on his face really like this one time in my lifetime. And I just remember looking over, and he's looking in the rearview mirror, and I just saw it on his face, and I went, get the visor down. Pulled the visor down. True story. You can ask him. I think there were maybe, it was at least 15 different law enforcement vehicles behind us. State troopers, county sheriff, Hogansville police officers, Grantville police officers, a lot of people. And here's the honest truth, and this isn't the point of my story, so I got to move on. We weren't speeding, and we didn't know what we were doing. We were like, why are they pulling us over? I'm the honest first response. That's what you do when you're in high school. You're like, what? We're in suits. We're going to a Christian event. There's no drugs in the car. There's no alcohol in the car. We're going 45 miles an hour through Hogansville, Georgia. What? And then about the time we get pulled over, I mean, we're still kind of thinking, what? And so a guy walks up, pretty tense. Andy and I get out. Two guys in the back seat stay in. And we're now standing behind this car looking at this guy. I'll never forget it. Very large man, mirrored glasses, a little piece of something in his teeth. I mean, you just like you're thinking. And he's sizing us up in those outfits, and he's looking at us, and he says this. He says, so, back up there a little ways. I won't do him the whole time. Somebody put some barricades out on the road. And he said, a family from Iowa took the detour. And probably what you boys don't know is that there's a bridge out just a little bit down the road. And if somebody's died, I'm charging all four of you with murder. Now, who wants to tell me who did it? That's when we went to jail. No one died. There wasn't a family from Iowa. But man, we were shaken. And we were sorry. And so we were, the van went on to LaGrange. That's where they were going. The concert happened. Able to send a couple of us. I'm not sure how it actually worked out. Couple stayed in the jail. Couple went on to tell our group, because this is before cell phones. This is before texting. This is before the internet. And somebody in the 15-passenger van needs to know that we're alive, right? So they send a couple people on with a police officer to LaGrange. That was a fun ride. I was in that vehicle. And then they came back at the end. And this is the part I wanted you to hear. And it was a very dramatic moment. I'll never forget it. And so our youth ensemble leader, on the way back now, after the concert of telling the people how Jesus is changing our lives, on the way back, now we're in Grantville, comes in the door, it's late at night on that night, and he comes through the door, and I don't know what's going to happen, but here he comes through the door, and just door opens, it's like a Kramer moment, I mean, a door opens, bam, he comes, and he says, and he tells his name, I won't say his name, he said, my name is so-and-so and so-and-so, and I'm here to get my boys. And we were like, oh, wow, this is like the craziest moment of all. And long story short, we left the jail that night and got to come home to Dr. Stanley. It was just another week in the life of growing up. And it made me think, I couldn't help but think about that. Just dialing down into this text today. You're like, really? Yeah, really. Because in this text, in the passage we're coming to today, take what I've just shared and throw that out the window and amplify that by about a billion, trillion, that Jesus has come into our lives when we were imprisoned, and bursting into the story, said, I'm here to get my boys. I'm here to get my ladies, I'm here to take you home. And he did. And that's what Paul's telling us about today. We came through these first few verses of chapter 4 last week talking about making every effort to preserve the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Talked about how there's just one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all who's over all and through all and in all. But then it says in verse 7, but to each one of us grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says when Christ, and I'm just going to use his name instead of the pronoun, when Christ ascended on high, he led captives in his train and he gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean? Except that he, Jesus, also descended into the lower earthly regions. He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. And it was Jesus who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people. Some translations say to equip God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Now, this passage is so powerful, especially coming around verse 8, because it says how we got grace apportioned to us from God through Christ is this way. And this is how it happened in verse 8, that Jesus ascended on high and he led captives in his train and he gave gifts to men. And I want us to think about those three lines today, because that's, again, I think a passage when we're devotionally reading through Ephesians, we're going to sort of camp out on certain sections and we're going to maybe kind of jump over other sections. And this section is extremely important because it says Jesus Christ has ascended to the highest place. Does everybody kind of believe that? We've sort of talked about that several ways in this book earlier, but Christ sits on the highest seat. He has the highest name. He's in the highest place. He has the highest authority. You can't get higher than Jesus. Amen? You can't get any higher than Jesus. And so Jesus has ascended to the highest place. He's been given the name that is above every name. So he's ascended to the highest possible place. But when he ascended, second phrase, he brought with him captives with him. And we're going to talk about that. He brought captives in his train. Following along with him came captives when he ascended to the heights. And then when he ascended to the heights with the captives, he gave gifts to men. So I just want you to know that the Jesus that we're worshiping today, the God that we're here to celebrate today, is an ascending God, the highest God that there is. He has taken captives with him in the journey. So Jesus didn't just say, hey, I know that I came down, but I'm going to go up to the highest place and good luck for the rest of you. He's taken us with him to the highest place. And then he's given, because God is not a taker, God is a giver. He has given gifts to men. And we're going to talk about that next week, the gifts specifically in this text that he's given to men. But the beauty is that Jesus has ascended to the highest place. And when he did, he took you and me with him. Now, Paul's kind of backing up on himself. And I love his writing style, because he said, some of you are going to go, he ascended. Talk about that a little bit more. And so he goes, okay, let me talk about that a little bit more. And this is what he says in verse 9. What does he ascended or Christ ascended mean? He said, except or unless that Jesus also descended to the lower earthly regions. And that phrase gets translated a different ways. A lot of scholars look at it a different way. But it means not that Jesus just came to earth, but that Jesus in his death descended below earth. He descended into the nether world of earth, into the dark place of earth. Some people say all the way to Hades. Some people say not to Hades, but just into the lower earthly realms. I don't think it's necessarily the point, which it was. The point is that he went into the place where you and I were held captive because of the power of sin over our lives. That's where he descended to. And so he says, what does it mean that he ascended except that he had also descended into the lower earthly regions? And the one who descended is the very one who has now ascended higher than all the heavens that he might fill the whole universe. And can I tell you how he's going to fill the whole universe? He's going to fill it by displaying the glory of God in himself and in the church. That's how he's going to fill the whole universe. The whole world is what's being said here. That's how Jesus is going to fill the whole world, by building a global church and by glorifying God in the work that he does in all that he has done. He's going to fill up the whole universe. And that's the beauty and the power of this phrase. I want to say it today, and I want to say it a lot of times this way, because I want you to get this little phrase in your mind, because I think it, for me, has given me a handle in my life in recent days and recent weeks. When I've been digging in this, this has become so helpful for me. And here's the phrase I want us to unpack in this. He ascended, but before that, he descended so that then he could ascend. This is what I've been working around. Jesus took the low road so that I can take the high road. Jesus took the low road of coming to earth, humbling himself to earth, humbling himself to God, even descending in death into the lower earthly regions where we were all held captive. He has taken the low road so that in my life, in every circumstance, and in my future, I can take the high road. And this has become helpful for me in every circumstance of life to think, right here, right now, there's two roads. There's a low road and a high road, and I'm going to take the high road, not just because I don't want to take the low road, but because Jesus has already taken the low road. He's giving me the power and the opportunity to take the high road. Let me show you what I'm talking about. It says, when he ascended, he led captives in his train. Do you know what that means? It's a bigger version of our youth choir leader coming into the Grantville jail and slamming the door open and saying, I'm here to get my boys. It's a bigger version of that. It's Jesus going through death into the nether world, the place where we were captive, and walking straight in to the power of the darkness that held us at bay and saying, I'm here to get the people of God whom he's going to bring to life to build up his church. I'm here to set the captives free. I'm here to get my boys. And you need to know that Jesus has come into your prison. He has come into your jail cell, and he has come in there with the authority of God to say, you're coming with me. So nobody has to live in jail anymore. Nobody has to live in jail anymore. Nobody has to spend one more night in jail. In the prison of your past, in the prison of your failure, in the prison of the shame, in the prison of the guilt. Nobody has to live in your jail anymore. Because Jesus came to the jail. He took the low road so that you could take the high road. What did Jesus have any business coming to your jail? The creator of the universe, what business did he have coming to your jail? None. But he did. With that same heart that our youth leader did, he came through the door saying, I'm here to get the people I love. Where are they? I'm here for you. You're coming with me. Isn't that beautiful? He took the low road so that we could take the high road. And I'm not going to camp out on this phrase right now, but it says he led captives with him. And in the one half of the gospel that a lot of us have grown up with, the way that worked was, as we said, wow, Jesus set me free. And that's really only part of what happened. Because the scripture says in this text, the context here says this, that when we came out of the captivity of darkness, we came into the captivity of the Savior. We were captives both ways because we were captured by grace. Let's let that sink in for a minute. So there is no faith, please, for me, that says Jesus set me free and now I'm free. No, I'm not free now. Paul just said in the first verse, I am a prisoner for the Lord. Hello? So you don't get set free so then you can say, man, I'm free, my past is forgiven, Jesus washed all my sins away, I have a brand new start, and now I can just go live my life any way I want to. No. When we got in the car with our youth leader, we were not free. Amen? You've been there, right? How many of you been there with your mom and dad? You came home from the principal's office, but you weren't free. One time I got in an accident after a long sleepless night with Andy, and I got in a car wreck. I fell asleep driving a car on 285 going over the Chattahoochee River Bridge. And when I woke up, I was between the guardrail and another car bouncing back and forth. I'm just going to tell you all my arresting stories today, okay? And I literally laid down on the passenger seat and went to sleep about 6:30 in the morning. I dropped Andy off at his house. We'd been up all night at Georgia State orientation. And I just finally got to the point where I said, I'm going to lay down now and take a nap. And I did. I literally was that tired. And when I woke up, there was a lot of banging. And I honestly think, and I never talked to him, that the person got their car next to my car to kind of keep me from doing something far worse. And so when it all kind of stopped, their car was immobilized and my car apparently still operational, but not fully operational because one of the fenders was rubbing on the tire. But I'm so sorry. I drove off. Yeah, he sat there and I drove off. I'm just telling you know, it's just part of my story. And so the police came to our house, and my dad and I had to go down to the Marietta Police Department. And they let us go home, and when we got in the car, I kind of wish they'd let me stay. What my dad did to me was a lot worse than what they were going to do to me. But flip that on the positive, the same way. See, when we got in the car to drive home from Grantville, nothing was said other than, I'm so glad he came to get us, but we still got Dr. Stanley to go. So that's the car ride home. And it's going to be 100% my fault. Always was. Andy was, I'm sure, in the spirit praying and I was doing something crazy. And we got a measure of grace from Dr. Stanley. And that grace captured us. It captures you. And so when Jesus ascended, he brought us with him. But when you're riding in that car, you're not in the back seat going, man, I can do whatever I want. You're in the back seat going, wow. The guy driving the car of grace had the power to come into my prison and set me eternally free. I am now his captive for life. I am a prisoner of the Lord, just like Paul and just like Jesus, because maybe we forgot, but Jesus spent a night in jail also. On the last night of his life, he got arrested, he got brought to Annas' house, and then he got taken to Caiaphas, the high priest's palace. And somewhere in that night, he got questioned, but he didn't go to see the authorities until the next morning. And for a season of that night, he was in the jail of the high priest Caiaphas's palace by himself. And he took the low road into that jail that night. So that anybody here that's ever been in jail, Jesus knows your story. He knows what it's like to spend a night behind bars and to face who knows what in the morning. And he came to that jail to set us free out of our jails. He came to that night of nights to set us free from our jails. And then he knew, I'm ascending. He'd already promised it. 3 days later, I'm coming back to life. I'm ascending. But don't you worry, because you're going to be coming with me. I'm bringing captives with me when I ascend. And then I'm going to give gifts to men. And the purpose for my gifts, he says down at the bottom, and I love this, we'll talk about it a little bit later, is to build up people so that the people build up the church. And that's the theme of where we're going in this chapter. Church isn't perfect, but our head is perfect. Jesus is perfect. And Jesus is perfecting us. James 1:4 says he even uses the trials in our lives, what? To produce endurance in our life. And what does endurance do in our life? It makes us perfect or mature is the way he says it. You can translate that word either way. It makes us perfect at the end of the day so that then we can be usable in God's kingdom. God is working a plan in us to perfect each one of us. He's perfect. The head of our body is perfect, but the body's not perfect yet. But he's perfecting all the parts of the body. You know why? So that the body then can be like the head. And so the goal isn't just for him to build me up. The goal is for him to build me up so that then he can use me to build this church up. And that's the beautiful plan of God, and that's why he gives gifts to men. But I want you to see two things this morning. This is the part where it comes all down to us practically walking this out today, and this is beautiful. I want you to see two things, and the first one is this, that you have been brought up to the highest place with Christ. When he ascended, you went with him. Look back a couple of chapters to Ephesians 2. And this is so beautiful. We know verses 1-3 talk about where we were under the wrath of God. But then there's a big transition comes in verse 4. And it says this. It says, but because of his great love for us. So now God gets involved. And God's motivated by love. Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. So that's our testimony, right? Our testimony isn't, I used to be bad, now I'm good. Our testimony is, I used to be dead, and now I'm alive. That's our story. He made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace, here comes grace again, operating all the way through, that you have been saved. But that's not the end of the story, because we know he's ascending, and he's leading us with him. So we have this next beautiful verse. And God, say it with me, raised us where? No, say it with me. He raised us up. He raised us where? Up. Jesus took the low road so that I could take the high road. And when I deserved nothing but death, Jesus went down and took the death so that then God in his grace could take me up to the heights. So he took the low road so that I can take the high road, and in him, look at my high road, and God raised us. Look what he did for you and me. He raised us, the church, up with Christ and seated us with Christ in the heavenly realms in Christ. I just put the in Christ on the pronoun, so we get all the in Christ. God raised us up with Christ, seated us with Christ in the heavenly realms in Christ. So when we joined our lives to Christ and Christ ascended, guess who went with him? You and me. So Paul takes three chapters to try to say, you're not living down here anymore, you're living up there. Your position isn't whatever your address is in your neighborhood. Your position is you're seated in the heavenly places in Christ. Your position isn't where you work in your organization. You are seated with Christ in the heavenly realms right now. I know you're stuck on earth for a little while, and I know you're being perfected, but guess where you live? You live in Jesus, and Jesus lives at the highest place. You live at the highest place because he's taken you up. He's taken you up. The enemy wanted to take you down, but Jesus chose to take you up. The enemy wanted to tear you down, but Jesus, praise his name, is about building you up and bringing you up. Why? So that he can set you built up in the church, and then you can build up the church with him. You know, I run into people almost every week in my life because of my job, and they say, when I say I'm a pastor, they're just like, forget it. Who needs the church? Who needs the church? And I'm just like, we just met. We're like, you know, sitting in an airplane or something, and they're like, who needs the church? And then I run into believers. I've run into believers here, and they're like, so what do you do? I'm a Passion City Church, and I'm like, oh man, I don't need a church. Well, you don't need the church. Jesus gave his life to build the church. Well, he said, well, I don't need organized religion. Okay, well, I don't either. Thank you. We agree on that. That's awesome. Thank you very much. We're both in a firm agreement on that. But the coming together and the collective knitting together of people under the authority of the apostles and the prophets and the pastors and the evangelists and the teachers, which is how God has set it in motion, that's God's plan. That's not man's plan. That's God's plan, not man's plan. Well, I don't need anybody to organize me into the body of Christ. No, you do. You need the apostles and the prophets and the pastors and the evangelists and the teachers to organize and lead the church, because that's the gifts God gave to man. Though those are the specific gifts right here that he did give to men. And so the mission for us is to understand that God has raised us out of the depths and seated us in the heights collectively as the church. And what Paul has said, it's going to take me 3 chapters to explain this. Because it's that good. You are forgiven. You are free. You are adopted. You are a son. You are a daughter. You are accepted. You are empowered. You have received the Spirit. You are linked in. You are no longer at war with God. You are at peace with God. You can not only not approach God, you are welcome to approach God. The doorway has been opened to you by the powerful work of Jesus Christ. You have every spiritual blessing. You have everything you need. Everything has been put at your disposal, and you're in a brand new place. You're seated at the highest place there is. And now here comes the end for me. And so this is what Paul's going to say for the 4th, 5th, and 6th chapter. He's going to say, live from the highest place and not the lowest. Live from the highest, not the lowest. And there's a 80-part sermon series in that statement. Don't walk out of your house in the morning feeling like you're a nobody. You're sitting in the highest place with Jesus. Why? Because you're a good person? No, because Jesus took the low road. So you could take the high road to work. You might have to take 400 to work, but you're actually taking the high road to work. It's called a highway for a reason. And that's what you're driving on. Don't let the enemy tell you that you're stuck in your past, because you're taking the highway to school. Don't let the enemy tell you that you're going to fail, because you're taking the highway where you're going. Because Jesus took the low way so you can take the highway. Jesus took the low road so you and me and us can take the high road. Let me tell you how it works out. I want to tell you in 2 ways, one really specific, and then we'll be done. Let's just play it through. So you're a businessman. You come to an amazing deal. You're sitting over a breakfast with somebody. They put a little offer out on the table. And there's a bunch of money and a bunch of promotion and a bunch of going forward and a bunch of advancement and a whole lot of what your flesh wants in that deal. But there was one sentence in the conversation that the Holy Spirit said to you, let's think about that. That doesn't sound like the highway right there. Because we got to tear somebody else in the business down, or we got to do a little shady financial thing, or we got to report this through a loophole, or maybe I'm not 100% sure this deal's on the up and up. And right there at that table, you want to have God speak into your heart. Jesus took the low road so that you can take the high road. He already brought you all the way to the top. Live from the top. You already have all you need. You don't need the extra cash out of this deal. I'm gonna clap for that, just quietly. That fires my heart up. That fires my heart up. So you say, but Louie, if I pass this deal, what? If you pass that deal, you go home to the highest place. And you wake up the next day in the highest place, because Jesus has raised you up with himself. When he ascended, he brought you with him. and you're never going to not have what you need. We're faced with temptation, same thing. And we're faced with it all day, every day. And in every temptation, what are we faced with? Our flesh is just crying out, I got to have this right now. That's what temptation is. That's in pure and simple, that's what it is. I got to have it right now. Or I got to depend on something other than God. And in that moment, we want the Spirit of God to say, you're already at the highest place. Just live out of the highest place. Think about the highest place for a second. Remember the grace that got you there and the grace that can work it out of you. And from the highest place, think about how to respond right now. Well, I don't feel like I can do it. Then grab hold of somebody next to you and say, remind me that I'm in the highest place right now. Remind me that I'm already seated up with God right now. Remind me that I can trust the one who took me out of my prison and raised me up into his palace. Remind me of that right now. Because I want to live like where I am. And when we forget that, then we're lost. And we take the low road. And the sad thing that robs God of his glory is when people who live at the heights choose to walk on the lows. And that's when those people down in the netherworld get their supposed payback for the fact that Jesus blew their jail apart. And we are going to be with him in the end. Praise God. But on the way, the enemy would love to wreak as much havoc as he can in the beautiful you that God is making. Because he's trying to grasp at straws to grab God's glory back. But he's not going to do it. He's not going to do it. Another practical way, and this is really what Paul's driving at in this chapter, pretty amazing to me, is that the best way and the most powerful way that we choose to live at the height is that when we make a decision, this is going to be so powerful. It is for me. I'll just say this for me. When we make a decision that we know where we are and we want to bring people up to where we are with our lives, because I know where I am. You know how the world operates? The world doesn't know where they are. And so what the world wants to do is to bring everybody down to where they are, or worse. And we love to get on the negative and miss out on God's power in our life to take us up to the height. And he's giving us the power to bring people up with us. And do you know the main way we bring people up or down? What's the main way we do that? How is the main way we build up the church? Which is what he said, to the equipping of the saints for works of service, to the building up of the body of Christ. How do we primarily build up the body of Christ? Is it by our giving? Bill, so amazingly opening that up today, that out of my abundance, I can touch someone's necessity. But is that the main way we build up the body of Christ? By our giving God our worship and tithes? No. Is it by door holding? Although that's amazing, no. The main way we build up people and build up the church is with our words. That's how we take people up, and that's how we take people down. We do it with our words. And I want to know and live like I am in the height. And I want to use my words to bring people up to where Jesus has brought me. You say, where do you see that? I see it right in the last of this chapter when he ties it all back together. Look at verse 29. Do not let any, this is so woven. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for I want you to say it out loud. I know we've read some things out loud, but it just helps because we're going to use our words today. But only what is helpful for, you say it with me, building others up. Building them where? Up. Why? Because Jesus took you where? Up. Where do you live? Up. Can you get any higher? Nope. You're already at the heights. And so he wants us to then, living in the heights, use our words to build other people up, not to tear other people down. And the only reason why I'm talking about me specifically, would try to bring somebody down with my words is because I forgot in a moment that I'm already in the highest place with Jesus. And so when you're in a conversation, here's what you're thinking. Jesus took the low road so I could take the high road. They falsely accused him. They lied about him. They trumped up charges on him. And what did he do? He just trusted his life to God and said, I'm just going to be quiet like a sheep led to the slaughter. And I'm going to believe that God has a plan. And he took the low road of humility. That's what we heard last week. Be completely humble, gentle, bearing with one another in love, so that you can make every effort to preserve the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And how do we do that? We do it with our words. Let no unwholesome word, we're finishing here, come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. So get rid of bitterness. Get rid of rage and anger. These are the undercurrents of why we want to bring things down. These are the undercurrents, the undertow that makes that happen. So we got to look under there and touch into these things. Get rid of bitterness and rage and anger and brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. And be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. You're at the heights of forgiveness. Bring somebody else up to the heights of forgiveness. And our beautiful role of knowing that God is perfecting us, are you excited today to know that God is perfecting you, that he came into your prison, set you free, and that his mission right now is to build you up? He wants to build you up so that you can be equipped to play your part in his church. And he's doing that work right now. And we have a role to play in that, and part of that role is to realize what he's done and receive it, and then to speak it over our lives and to speak it into the relationships that we're in. So we were on a tour stop not long ago, and someone brought a FedEx box to me with my name on it, and no address, no label, just handed it to someone who handed it to me at the end of the night. I opened it up, and in it was this thing right here. Can you see that? And I'm like, okay, that's pretty awesome. It's the end of a tour night. Sometimes people might bring chocolate chip cookies, but I get this thing right here and a note. And I'm like, wow, and so cool. So I read the note. I brought the note. It's handwritten on a fax cover sheet from a company. So there's the note. Fax letterhead. Here's your little memo in here. I didn't even know these things still existed, but apparently they do. And this is from, I won't mention his name, October 16th is when it was. He said, I really enjoyed your last message here at, and he names their church. I'd spoken at this church several months ago, and I'd done a talk that you've heard me do here at Passion City Church. So he said, I thought you might find the enclosed interesting and educational. Keep them with my compliments. The Otis handle is from a car switch elevator. The operator used this handle to set the demand whether to ascend or descend. Thought you might like it. If I can ever provide technical elevator expertise, please let me know. A brother in Christ. And he works for an elevator company in one of the great Midwest cities of America. And this thing's from like olden times. And so, you know me, I have to Google, you know, and try to figure out how a car switch elevator works. And this is what I found out. This is pretty cool how this works. So in the old days, you'd get on the elevator and there had to be an attendant. You didn't say, I'm going to go to 7 or 3 or whatever. There was somebody on there and he said to you, do you want to ascend or descend? Isn't it amazing that he used the words? Who says that? We're going to get in the elevator and ascend up to my office. You know, you say we're going to go up or go down. But it's amazing that he used the words that he can set the demand whether to ascend or descend. And so you'd say, I want to ascend. I want to go up. Here's where I'm going. So he would put this thing. He would turn the handle like that. It has a spring on it. He would put this little coupler into the receiving mechanism on the wall. And there was an up and a down. And he then would pull the lever and take you up. Or he would pull the lever and take you down. You would either ascend or you would descend. And it was at his control. And this is us. In every conversation, we can either take people up to where we are, or we can take people down to where we think we are. And you got the switch in your hand. And you can either build the church up, or you can bring the church down. Switch is in your hand. And you know whose hand you want on the switch? Because God's giving us the opportunity to put our hand on the switch. The people whose hands you want on the switch are people who know they already live in the penthouse, not in the prison. And they say to people, you know what? You're annoying me right now. But I'm going to extend to you what God extended to me. And I'm going to try to find a way in this moment to take you up with me. Because I started this day on the highway. And I'm going to finish this day by God's grace on the highway. And I kind of like you to get up on the highway because the highway's good. Highway is a good way. He said, well, you know, we just, you know, let everything slide and take everybody up. No, it says right in here, we're going to talk about it. Speak the truth to one another in love. Come on, let's go up. Let's all go up. Will we ever have to speak the truth to each other to build up the church? Only every day. So if nobody's speaking the truth to you, you're not going up where God wants you. Like if you're only speaking the truth to somebody else, that's kind of like your MO, then who's taking you up to where God wants you to go? So we're going to spend our whole journey to Jesus speaking the truth to each other. And what is the truth? Hey, we're living in the penthouse. We're already living in the heights. We've already been taken up to the heights. Come on, we've already been set up in the heights. Let's go up. Let's go up. And then he says, all right, do you want to go up or you want to go down? And I love it because I've been, you know how much I love this, right? I mean, you know this, like, this is my love language. This is like the gift of gifts, right? And I'm so grateful to this person because I didn't even know such a thing existed. And it's been sitting in a visible place to me. And I've been thinking about it and holding it and goofing around with it. And I really wish I could get in one of those elevators and make it work one time. And then as I'm praying this week, God said, go get the switch. And I was like, okay, got the switch. I don't know what it is exactly. I mean, I remember the thing, but I just read it once. And he said, go get the note. So I went and got the note. And I picked up the note, and I said, I'm going to read it again. The Otis handle is from a car switch elevator. The operator used this handle to set the demand whether to ascend or descend. And I'm not getting all ooey-gooey on you. But a guy that's been living and breathing, he who ascended is also he who descended. Yeah. And I said, Lord, you got a word for me, and I want to receive it. And I want to put my hand with my words in a spot to take people up with me because you took me up with you.